Marty, are you there? Is the sun shining in Ellettsville today?
It is. It is. It's a little bit of cloud here or there, but you know what? I believe it is more sunny than it is cloudy, so I'm happy
That's good.
For today.
That's good. That's good.
I just looked over and saw that I forgot to put my puppy dog in her crate, so let's hope that she sleeps through this. I've been busy today. It's a busy day at the State House and trying to make sure that I'm not missing anything there, and then going back and trying to figure out what happened at last night's council meeting, because our attorney Jeff Cockrell made a presentation, and you know, I really needed to see something in writing because there was so much that he was presenting. But one of the big ones, and I wanted to get that mentioned here so that we won't let this get past us. But it's going to be a long time coming, but the big project is going to be that bridge that's going to be covered there near Fullerton Pike, and that's going to be a very, very major expensive proposition. And so all of these things, it appears it's going to be coming out in the news fairly soon. Not that it's going to happen very soon, but we have to let people know what's coming up.
So oh, it's going to happen soon, because that's right over in my neighborhood, Marty, and they've been taking trees out for the last two or three, at least 2 months or so. The new library is on the other side of that bridge that's going to go in at Fullerton Pike. And when you come off Interstate 69 at the Fullerton Pike exit and you go through the traffic circle, then you go east up the hill, you can see all the way to the light at Old 37 where Kroger is and Wendy's,
right.
And all of those trees between here and there are, they're getting ready for the expansion. We know that's been in the big project. That's been on the plans forever. But that bridge, I heard at one time, is going to be around 500 feet, more than that, less than that. That's a big – can't go under the creek, Marty. We got to go over it.
Right, and I don't have the total, but I know it has to be more than 200 in order for us to use the major bridge fund. You know, a few years ago when we were researching, how are we going to cover some of our bridges? It's just bridges are so expensive, and everybody in the county, of course, is responsible for every bridge in the county, whether you're in the city or out of the city, and we must keep those bridges safe. And so we were researching, what can we do to bring in more dollars to cover that? And that's when I discovered, well, there's this thing called the Major Bridge Fund. Why aren't we using this? And not many counties do. But in our county, we really needed to, because when you talk about, we're not a flat county, you know.
No, we're not.
County, you might not need a bridge. But with our beautiful rolling hillsides, we need bridges. And so we do have that major bridge fund. We're trying to save dollars back, but there's no way that's going to cover this. But there will be a rather large bond to cover part of this. Some of the money has already been allocated or set aside in some way with a MPO, but that Metropolitan Planning Organization. Mm-hmm. But then there will be a bond and then as well, and money coming from this TIF, that Fullerton Pike TIF, to bring it together, because one of the documents I saw said they thought it would be at least $17 million. $17 million. So we're talking some big bucks, and I just wanted to make sure that I'm mentioning that and I'm not letting those things get past us here. Because, I mean, we've had, as you mentioned a minute ago, having to do with the library. Of course, we're all excited about making sure that library has dollars and that it's you know, we've got the pathway that's working on and so forth. But in our meeting coming up, it's where they will be coming, the library will be coming to us to help correct. Well, it can't be corrected, but to figure out where dollars that they have presently that they'll be able to use to make up for that error that was made during their adoption process of their budgets. And as I've said before, they don't have to come to the county council for their budgets to be reviewed, except if they go over that maximum levy they're allowed for their budget. And they did. It wasn't by much, but you're not allowed to go over it at all.
Right.
Unless, it's different for the library, unless the library comes to the county council, that fiscal body for the entire county, to bring it to us, then for us to vote on it. Because remember, the county and other taxing units routinely go over that maximum levy because we know the state will cut it back to where it cannot go over the maximum levy. But that's different for the library because they are not elected officials. That board is not elected board. And so they can move forward with what they want to do. But if they determine with their budget, and that's not their property tax levy, but their budget is still tied to that maximum growth percentage. It's all backwards, so it's really difficult to wrap your head around it. But because they didn't go to meet with their financial people from the state, you know, the state has representatives that comes out and they have these budget workshops. And so probably during the changeover of who was in charge of the library, that somehow got mixed up, and so they were off by a bit. So they're going to be coming forward, and they'll be asking for $4 million out of their rainy day fund and $615,000 for that personnel coverage.
And that's is that a one-time cost, Marty?
Yes, the thing is that because they were not allowed to capture these dollars that they would have got for their growth for this coming year, they were not allowed to do that, then they've got to go back into their savings to cover those additional expenses. So
that money won't come back next year if everything is filled out correctly?
They just said, you better believe they'll not do this again. Won't. I mean, I have every confidence that they will make sure this never happens again. I don't recall it ever happening in the past, so it's a rarity. But that's why we have the state looking over everything we do, because we are held accountable. And according to that, I also want to say kudos to our auditor's office and Brianna Gregory and that entire area of the auditor's office. They presented to us their financial updates and their interview with State Board of Accounts. We got just glowing reports of our audit, and that feels really good, because we've had some bad reports in the past, and this time we had glowing reports, so I was delighted to hear that. But in addition to which, something going on in the auditor's office right now, you know, everybody wants to make sure they get their paycheck. You know, you go to work, you want to get paid on time.
Yeah.
And we always counted on, we had this excellent payroll administrator, his name is Jordan Miller, and everybody knew he'd get it done and get it done right, and of course he did and has. But he has now determined that he is going to change positions and leave that job and go over and work at the jail under the jail payroll and work on their budgets and so forth. And so kudos to him. He gets to do something new and different. And that's not unusual to see people want to move around. But it does then open up the door to perhaps having the auditor bring that back into her office, because really that's where it has been for years and years and years. And she did tell me today that she's absolutely open to considering that again and to rework that whole process.
What is the best practices there, Marty? So if people are hearing this wondering, is that a big deal, not a deal? What is best for the county there?
Well, I think it because it's really set up, you know, the auditor's job description is set up by the state. they tell them these are the things that they're supposed to do. And one of the things they're supposed to do is, of course, payroll. And they're very responsible for the budgeting process and the salary ordinance and things that are going on in other areas that really, at some point in time, it would not be unusual for this auditor or the next one to pull them back in unto and under her authority, her, his authority, because they are indeed responsible no matter what. Now, wherever you put this position, they're the ones that are responsible. And also, they have a large enough staff that they can counter-train, you know, so that if one is out sick, another one's right there, and to make sure that they get that cross-training going on. So that's the way I've always, you know, for many years, never would have thought payroll would be under anyone other than the auditor. And that always worked really well. So we'll just see. Yeah, I mean, it's up to her. If she says she wants to have it back under her office, it would seem to me that there would be no discussion about it. That's just what she could do, but we'll find out because I'm not in charge of what other people think.
No, but you bring us the news. Marty Hawk is our guest.
Yeah, right.
Keeping our finger on the pulse.
Oh, there's so many things I want to talk with you about. Okay. Also, last night, it wasn't on the agenda. It was like during council comments. It was a council member presented something. This is the resolution. Some of us think, you know, we've already talked about it. We talked about it in public, and we want everybody to vote on it and move forward with this. And it was just like, okay, I don't even have a copy of it. I don't, you know, when I saw that they had done that a week or so ago, I didn't pay the greatest attention to it. I know that they had said they wanted to support having to do with the jail facility, having less than 400 beds and other things that they had put in there. But I thought, well, that's what those folks are talking about. I had no idea that they were going to bring it to the council last night and expect us to vote on it. But, of course, that's what happened. I had nothing to look at. I wasn't going to vote for it, so I didn't. Of course, I'm the only one. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. If you don't feel like you should be supporting something, you shouldn't. I mean,
easy as that.
Have it in front of you. It would have been better if we had an open discussion at the council meeting, not just whoever said, you know, went off in a caucus and agreed to this. But it should have happened at a council meeting, let the public hear about it, and then that would have been up, because it was a work session, that would have been perfectly appropriate, and then at that next meeting, we could have made that decision to vote yes or no. But there was a big movement. I don't know whether it was just trying to push this through so it'll look like, okay, this is what we're doing, to that next CJRC meeting. I have no clue. It's going to be whatever the commissioners want anyway. And as I said, look, some of you folks are worried about whether or not the city has anybody on this committee. I might just say I don't see any Republicans on that committee. So, you know, whatever you folks want to do, you know, birds of a feather. So go ahead and do it together.
Well, that's kind of how the system is set up, it feels, in one way or another.
Absolutely, and just as I said, this community voted in favor of these folks, and they are the elected officials duly elected to make these decisions. So if you don't like the decisions they're making, then you've got to be able to come forward and say, I like this and that, but here's some other things I don't like.
Sure.
People have to get involved if they want to change it. Okay, the other thing I wanted to say is that, you know, I'm on the Indiana County Council's legislative group, and I was very proud to say that some of the folks who had gone up to speak at the state to the Ways and Means Committee had really made a difference, because the things that they had spoke on, it appears it's really working well. One of the ones is Senate Bill, I think it was 317. I didn't write it down. It's the one where it was going to be the distribution of the public safety tax. And so those amendments that was put in there, it looks as if those amendments have been removed so that it will just come forward the way it had originally been presented.
Well, what was stuck in there, Marty, that was concerning?
Because so many, you know, when we talk about the public safety tax, and it, first of all, central dispatch comes off at the top. And then if any of the townships wanted any dollars, the way it's written now, that those dollars come off of the top of the balance after you've done the central dispatch. And then what was left would be split, having to do with the same way you figure out the certified shares, with the city and with the county and the town of Ellisville. Well, this legislation was not going to be, you can vote to say whether or not the townships could have any part of it. It was going to be, they definitely would just get it, and it would all come out of the county's portion. None of it would come out of the city's. And so there was a lot of people from the county level, and even people from this being funded with the public safety tax, including our sheriff having to do with the jail, et cetera, wanted to make sure that the people voting on this at the state level understood that we've already budgeted those dollars coming into the county. And some counties budgeted a lot of it for their probation department and so forth. So if you take a large chunk out of what we have to work with, it will force the counties to have to figure out revenue to cover jail expenses or law enforcement expenses in some other way. Some kind of new tax. So that was a part of the discussion as well. Then there was another bill having to do with revenue coming in and having to do with the commissioners signing off on all the contracts, including any contracts having to do with the jail and the sheriff, and also having to do with the commissary. And that, all of that language out of that bill was taken out, and so that it will no longer be as was being presented on those amendments. Those amendments came completely out of there. And so that will then, I don't have that bill number written in front of me, but that will now go, be engrossed and go to third reading at the House. So Sheriff had a pretty good week because he was up there working, meeting with the legislators and making sure they understood the situation and what we need done here.
That's the tough part, because here is not everywhere, and up there they're dealing with everybody, not just individual places.
Oh, yeah, and they're tired of fixing Monroe County's problems, for sure.
Well, the other thing I know everybody is watching up there, Marty, too, is we talked about property tax relief and things like that. Is that gaining traction anywhere? Is that
right.
Something?
That was my next one.
Oh, good.
The one that I want to talk about now is the Senate Bill 65. That's wrong. That's an elected official. It's the Senate Bill 46. And that has to do with trying to figure out a way that if the county council should vote to do this, they could, if a person was at least 55 years of age, and if they had lived in their property for at least 10 years, and if they meet certain income guidelines, and if their property tax increased somewhere between 2% or 5%, but no more than that, would be covered, that they could get a circuit breaker on that. In other words, the county council could choose which areas that should be in, or they could say the entire county. But it would have to be, you couldn't say over here, you have to be 55 years old and live there for 10 years. And over here, it could be something else. It would have to be uniform, whatever, however you would determine to do that. Now, whether or not this county would do it, we'll find out. But
We got to get to that point first, right?
Right. And so that did pass the Ways and Means Committee, and so that will then go to the full House, as well as the Senate Bill 65 Committee, which is a bill which we were able to get an amendment to that so that we could use that elected officials training fund for the county councils as well. It is essential that we make sure our county councils throughout the state get additional training, because this is a lot. Can you imagine if you've only served on the council a year or two and tried to hold all of this in your head?
Are they required to go, or is this just a very, very encouraging suggestion?
Well, if we provide the funds, I would really like to see it at sometime soon. We would be required to go. I mean, just like the assessor is required.
Why don't we make these full-time jobs then? If you're gonna make, you know, if you're gonna expect all of this and do all that, why don't we just make them full-time jobs?
Who could afford it?
Well, I mean, the taxpayer affords everything else. So,
I'm not saying they'll give us a raise.
I'm just saying we've got other people making full-time money on doing this stuff, and it's not a full-time job. So why don't we just stop calling it something different? Would that be a state deal, or would that be county by county? How would that work if that was the dream one day to make this a real job?
Well, I mean, each county could do it differently if
they chose to,
because the county council is in charge of how much each position pays.
Okay.
And so they could do that. And really, if I'm sure that there might be some counties who just go in, that somebody hands them a piece of paperwork, and they all say yes and get up and go home. That's not the way it's supposed to work. You're really supposed to understand what you're voting on, understand what the laws say, and make certain that we are following the legislation, whether we like it or not. That's the way it goes. We just need to make sure that we know what's going on.
That's part of it.
Well, I just now got something having to do with the mental health facility centers. I just now got something said there's legislation going through that it was amended last week in the local government committee. And so we'll look to see what's going to go on. I don't have time to read that as I'm talking to you, but there's a lot of that going on. We do know that House Bill 106, having to do with covering some mental health opportunities for treatment within the jail system, that is in part tied to, for the county expenses, it could very well be that it would cost the county more if the county provides certain kind of insurance coverage to the employees, that it will cost more for that. Somehow it will get into those dollars. But so it could either be more money to cover the county employees, or the county employees would just, their benefits wouldn't be as much, or they would have to pay more for it. I'm just saying I don't understand how all that comes together. And when I asked the person who's supposed to be there working for the county to advocate on the county's behalf, he indicated he was not real sure how that was supposed to work either. So if he doesn't know, I'm sure I don't know.
Well, next week you'll know. Next week you'll have a whole bushel full of new information that you can share with us. And I had Kevin Briniger on from the Indiana Chamber of Commerce last week, so if folks wanted to hear some other things going on at a different level, we've got we're trying to get it all covered is what I guess what I'm trying to say. And Marty, we always thank you for your time. What's next on the council's agenda, the county council's agenda? What is on your radar here moving forward? Is it all? Well, you tell me.
Well, of course, this was our work session, so now we'll be waiting for the next couple of weeks, and everything happens in the meantime, so how do you know what is going to happen between now and then? We do know that there's, of course, information that we need to cover having to do with the library, et cetera, but also making sure that we continue to listen to what the sheriff's needs are for the jail, and he continued to bring updates. I know he met with the group at the library last night to make presentations. He makes no bones about it. He will go to talk to whoever wants to listen and learn, because this was someone from the opposite party of where he is, and I say kudos, because once you are elected, you should be willing to go speak with whoever wants to learn. And so that's what he did, and I guess it was a great turnout and well presented. So I do know also that we will be receiving, there's some folks going to Cook's to ask them to come to the Redevelopment Commission to discuss and give us an update what they plan to be doing with that building there where GE is, because that sort of slowed down, having to do with all the COVID and all the things that have gone on. But because that was separated out of the rest of the TIF, there'll be some information coming back on that, as well as they are working hard on the other portion there on that West Side TIF, having to do with that residential TIF that they're moving forward, trying to get that going in that area.
A residential TIF?
A residential TIF, yes. So that now, that not everybody's in favor of residential TIF, but what that would do, now that doesn't mean that the people that moving there wouldn't pay the same kind of tax anybody else would. It's just they would be paying the tax, the school tax, and all these other taxes, but it would stay right there in that TIF to help pay for the infrastructure.
Have we done that before?
We've been talking about it. They're talking a lot about it at the state, but the concern is that soon every new house that's built will be built within some kind of a residential tip.
Absolutely
and then where
right.
Where will the money come from?
That's
to
right.
Pay for the library, to
that's
pay
right.
for all the other things.
Well, we check. And that's so, why we check with you every week, Marty. We don't want any of this to sneak through the cracks or slide by.
I'm trying to make sure I don't miss anything. Please don't be angry with me if
Never.
I miss something.
No, just put it on your list for next week. I tell the same thing to everybody. We don't expect perfect. We're just happy to get the update every week, and we know you're busy, and we appreciate you sharing all that information with us. Enjoy the sunshine, and when we talk to you next, hey, it's going to be April.
Yes, and do not forget that it will be time to be thinking about voting. Folks, please get out and vote. Please, please, please.
I will
get
to that.
If you live in the city of Bloomington, if you live in the town of Ellettsville, do study. Look to see what you want, who you want to represent you, and ask them the questions, and go let your voices be heard.
I'm trying to give all the updates on all the forums for mayors and candidates and everything else. I'm trying to, but I'm like you, Marty. If I forget one, I don't mean to. It's not it's not because of that. It's just because, well, the RAM. I don't have all the RAM up there as I used to have up between the old ears. But, well, that's why I love talking to you every Wednesday, so I can get refreshed on what I'm remembering to forget.
And wasn't my puppy dog perfect?
I wasn't going to bring it up, because once you bring it up, then dogs start barking. That's how that works.
Okay. You have a good afternoon.
Thanks, Marty. Appreciate it.